again, we're on the top, Yud Amar Aleph. We got down around 10 lines in. Is that too deep for anybody?
Yes.
That's too deep for you?
It's just geography.
Yeah, it's just geography, exactly.
Yeah, first side.
Should we pull?
Did we get 10 minutes line?
We got two. Let's see. We could backtrack. That's fine. We backtrack quickly. Let's go to two lines in the bottom of Testament base. Is that good for you, Adam?
Yeah. Oh, I'm up to Parsai.
Oh, Parsai. Okay, so you stopped in the middle of a conversation. Okay. There we go. So Parsai, two lines down from the top. Parsai minolam de miyefes kos. How do you know that Persia came from the child of Yefes, of Noach? Dichsiv b'nei Yefes, who were the children of Yefes, thank you. Gomer umigog umadai v'yavon v'suval umeshach v'siros. Those were the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children of Yefes. So which is each of these countries, where they represent? Gomer ze Gramamia, Germany, I would assume. Magog ze Canada. We said that was Crete, I think, yesterday. Madai zu Macedonia, Macedonia. Yavon is Kamashmo, which is Greece. Tuval ze Beis Onaiki. Don't remember which one that was. Was that Ukraine, maybe? I don't remember. Meshach zu Musia. Tiras. What's Tiras? That's a machlokus. Pligiba Rabbi Simai, Rabbanon. Bamila Rabbi Simon, Rabbanon. Okay. Chadamar ze Beis Triki. Vechadamar ze zu Paras. So, according to the opinion, who says that Paras was the Tiras of Paras, turns out Persia was one of the children of Yefes. Tanir of Yosef, he says, Tiras de Paras no machlokes, it was clear as day that Persia was Tiras, and that was therefore a child of Yefes. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues to darshan a number of other psukim there in Parshas Noach. Sav Savarama Vesav Saka. These were three other names listed in Noach. Tani Rav Yosef, Sikisan Gviasa, Sikisan Brisa. There was a town that's called the same thing, a city that was in the inner city, and there's Sikasan, which is the outer city. Okay? So that's why the words in the pasuk is Safsa and Safsaka are very two similar words. I'm not sure what Ramah does there. But Bein Chad El Chad, between each city, was Mea Parsa, was 100 Parsa in between the two cities. Vehekefa Alpha Parsa, and the circumference was 1,000 Parsafs. So that's what that refers to. That Tihi Reishis Mamlachto Babel, and the beginning of the kingdom was Babel, Ve'erech Ve'achad Ve'kalna. Other psukim there. Babel Kamashma, okay, that's what is what it says. Erech Ze Arichus, any English one Arichus is? Any countries we know?
The sea and the lower Euphrates, not far from Ur.
Okay, fine. Ve'echad Ze Bishkar, I guess. Okay. Bashkar.
Basko.
I have Bashkar here. You're right, Bashkar I have. Okay, Bashkar. The Kalna ze Nofar Ninfi. Okay, don't know what to make of these places. Min ha'arta hi yatsa Asher. So from that land came about Asher. Tanya of Yosef, Asher ze Silek. Another city. The Yiven es Ninvei ves Rechovos Ir ves Kalach es Kelach. Ves Kalach. So what are each of these? Ninvei kimashma, as we know, that's Ninvei. Rechovos Ir Zupras de Mishon, and Kalach is Zupras de Voices. Different cities. Vesrasan, the Gemara continues to darshan the pasuk. Vesrasan bein Ninveh ubein Kalach, hi ha'ir gdola. Rasan was situated between the cities of Ninveh and the city of Kalach. Rasan zu ak Tisfon, hi ha'ir gdola. That's a large city. So ein yodeh im Ninveh ha'ir gdola, im Rasan ha'ir gdola. Because it says at the end, hi ha'ir gdola. Is ha'ir gdola referring to Resan's ha'ir gdola, or is ha'ir gdola referring to Ninveh? Unclear in the pasuk. Kshu omer Ninveh ha'isa ha'ir gdola lelokim mahalach shlosh yamim. The pasuk elsewhere says that Ninveh was the ha'ir gdola who havi omer Ninveh hi ha'ir gdola. So that tells us that when the pasuk here says ha'ir gdola, it's referring to Ninveh.
Hashem wants to destroy him there too. I think he said Yonah, no.
Is it Yonah also? Yes. Is this pasuk quoted from Yonah? This pasuk is.
Yes.
It is. Okay. Very good. So this is from Yonah. This is the raya that Ninveh is referred to as Ir Gedola. V'shama Achimon Shashai v'Salma Yilidei Ha'anak. What is this? Who this is referred to? So Tana Achimon Miyuman. What does Achimon mean? It means Miyuman Shebe'achim. I think the strongest members of the among the brothers. That's what it means. Miyuman. I think the best, the strongest.
Milshon Yamin.
I mean, the right.
Yeah.
The right, or that probably means the strongest.
Ha'inu, ha'gibor sheba'achim v'chashuv sheba'im.
The right hand is stronger.
Kishem she'ad yamim chashuv v'chashuv
v'chashuv. Okay, and then... Shishai. Shishai shemesim es ha'aretz kishechisos. So he makes the ground with like holes in them. Like he stomps and these giants walking, make these footprints in the ground. That's what it means, Shashai. And Salmi means Shemesim es aris talman tlamen. They made the ground into mounds. Is that what it's saying? How do they make them into mounds? I think it kicks up the dirt. When they walk, all the dirt ends up kicking up. So that causes, not I say mounds, but dirt to come flying around when they stomp throughout. Davar Acher, alternatively, Achiman Bona Anas, Bona Amas, what does that mean? The son was Anas, or built Anas. Bona or Bona? So he built a city called Anas, and Sheishai Bona Olush, Tami Bona Talbush. Okay, I guess they built cities that were called these. I'm not sure how you get these names from the Pasuk of Anas, Olush, and Talbush. All right, then the Gemara concludes from darshaning these psukim, Yilidei ha'anak shemanikin hachama b'komasan, whereby they would block, they would get in the way of the sun from being standing so tall. Okay, that's the end of the drashas of these various psukim in Parshas Noach. So continues the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yishub ben Levi, Amar Rabbi, Asida Rome shetivol biad pras. In the future, Rome is going to fall at the hands of Persia. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Lachain Shimu Ates Etas Hashem, Asher Yatz, listen to the advice of Hashem, that he's going to advise Al Edom, Edom which refers to Rome, Umachshvosov Asher Chishav, and the thoughts he's going to think on Yoshve Seiman, the dwellers of the south, Imlo Yischevun Yatzire Hatzon. What do you mean, Yischevun? If they won't be conquered by the young sheep, young cattle, young sheep, yeah. If I don't place upon them Noam. And the English on what that?
Nevehem.
Nevehem?
Yeah. Their dwellings.
Dwellings? Okay. What was the word Yischavum there? Anything on Yischavum?
To carry on. To carry them.
To carry them? Yeah. So the Tzirei Atzon are going to carry the Edom. In other words, Tzirei Atzon are going to overtake Rome. How do you know that each of these refers? How do you know? So what's implied here, the Gemara says.
What's the Indian here?
The Indian here is that Persia is going to take over Rome.
No, that's where it's all started.
Oh, why are we talking about this here?
All the cities and the geographic locations. What happened like yesterday?
Because yesterday we were discussing how the Mikdash Sheni was in the property of Yefes. And it was built by the Ohel Shem. Mm-hmm. So we started to darshan the different countries that came from Noach. Now we're discussing different countries. We decided to talk about Persia. We spoke about Persia before. We're going to speak about Persia again. So this pasuk seems to imply that Persia is going to conquer Rome. So how do we know this? Because Edom, we already know, refers to Edom is Rome. So somehow the pasuk seems to indicate that Tzir Yatzon is a reference to Persia. We'll see how in a second. So Persia, the Tzir Yatzon, is going to conquer conquer Edom. So Gemara says, Maskiv la Rabba Barula, he asks, My mashma dahai Tzir Yatzon pras. How do you know that the word Tzir Yatzon is a reference to Persia? Dechsev ha'ayl asher isa bal hakranayim, the ram that you'll see, the one with horns, Malche madai pras. That's like the complete pasuk found in Daniel. So we see that the ram with horns is referred to Persia. So that ram is considered a tzon. That's how we know tzon is referring to Persia. So Gemara says, Ve'ema Yavon, maybe it refers to Greece. Dichsiv havat sapir v'asair melch Yavon. So the goat is referring to the king of Greece. So a goat's also a type of tzon. Tzon is, again, I'm not sure how the biological breakups go, the structures, but I remember there are different ways to break it up. So there's like a family name. So tzon is like the family name. Now within tzon, there are sheep and there are rams, there are goats. So
what is ram?
A ram is where we get the shofar from. You get shofar from a number of animals, but we try to get from the ram.
Trying to imagine.
It has like these horns, curl.
How do you call it in Hebrew?
Ayal.
Ayal.
Yeah, ayal is a ram.
It's as a fur.
Not like a sheep, but it has like more like a goat, I think, type of fur.
It's like not keves. What is keves? Keves, you don't make a horn from keves. Keves has karnaim too.
If it does, you could use it. The only thing you can't use is a cow's horn, because of a cheda ego.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Let's see, where are we now? Okay, so he's challenging. How do you know? Because just because it Pasuk says tzon, that the tzon is going to overtake Edom, how do you know that's a reference to Persia, which is compared to an isle? Maybe it's a reference to Greece, which is compared to a goat. Okay, Salak Rav Chaviva Bar Sumaki, when Rav Chaviva went, Amra Kamei Dahum Rabbanon, he said in front of the Rabbanon, Amr Le, he says to them, Man Delo Yada Prushe Kri, Mosif Tiyufta, the Rebbe, the one who doesn't know how to explain psukim, he's going to ask questions to Rebbe? Doesn't make any sense. He doesn't know how to darshan psukim. My tzire tzon, we weren't darshing the word tzon to teach me that it was for Persia. It's tzire tzon. Zutra de achu de taner of Yosef tira zepras. See why tzire tzon, the youngest tzon? Because it goes back to the children of Yefes. The youngest one listed in the pasuk, the last one was tiras. Right, he was the last of the seven children of Yefes. That's why it's called Tzire, and that's a reference to Pras. You're right, there are a number of nations that are compared to different types of Tzon. But Tzire Tzon, that's specifically Persia. So that's why we bring this Brisa here, this discussion, because it really piggybacks off the previous discussion of Tzire Tzon is a reference to Tiras Zepras. Now the Ben Yoyada wants to... Actually, no, the next piece is Ben Yoyada, I'm sorry. Okay, next discussion. Amar Rabba Bar Barachan, Amar Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Yehuda, Berebi Eliai Asida... We've been speaking about what's going to be in the future. So we're making another reference to what's going to be la'asid with Rome. Asida Rome shetipal b'yad pras. They're going to, again, fall to the hands of Persia. Kal v'chomer, it's going to be a kal v'chomer. How do I know it's going to happen through a kal v'chomer? Ma mikdash rishon shebanahu b'nei shem, that b'nei shem built the bais rishon, v'cherivu kasdim, and the kasdim, which is really Babylonians, destroyed the bais rishon. And then Naflu Kazdim Biad Parsam, the Persians conquered the Babylonians. So now Mikdash Sheni Shebano Parsam, that the Persians actually built by Sheni, Vecharivu Romaim, and the Romans destroyed it. Eino Din Sheyiflu Romaim Biad Parsam, does it not make even a Kavachomer that now the Romans should fall to the hands of the Persians? So again, because the Kazdim, the Babylonians, built, destroyed Bais Rishon, and the Persians took them over. So the Romans, who destroyed by Sheni, should not be a Kavachomer, the Persians should overtake the Romans also, because now the Persians have an added Zechus to them, because they actually built the by Sheni. So given that added Zechus, they certainly should be able to overtake the Romans. So this is the Kavachomer they tried projecting to say that Romans will fall into the hands of Persia. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav rather, Asida Pras Shetipo Biad Romi. No. So no, in the future Persians are going to fall into the hands of the Romans. So what does that mean? Amri Le, they say back to him, Rav Khan and Rav Asi, they say back to Rav, Bano Biad Sisori, that the ones who built it are going to fall in the hands of who destroyed it. I don't understand. The Persians built the base of Migdash, and they had the special zechus of building Bais Sheni, and the Romans came along and destroyed the Bais Sheni. So who's the greatest zechus? Obviously, the Persians have a greater zechus for building it. So how could the Persians, who have the greatest zechus, fall in the hands of the ones who destroyed it, namely the hands of the Romans? So Amar Lahu, so Rav responds back, in, you're right, Gzeres HaMelech, this is Gzeres HaMelech, you're right, the Kal v'chomer doesn't make any sense, but Gzeres HaMelech, this is the way it's going to be. He doesn't say how he knows this, but he knows it's going to be this way. Yigadami, others say, Amar Inu Nami HaKasasi BeKenishta. No, what do you mean? The Persians also have in their hands the destruction of the base of Migdash. They've destroyed Bais Rishon. Just because they built Bais Sheni, so Bais Rishon was a greater base of Migdash, more Nisim, more Ashra Shechina, so perhaps one could argue that they have a worse a taina against them, and that's why the Persians are going to be defeated by the Romans.
Where are we in all this story?
You, who, us?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. Not sure. Okay. Tanya, but Persia's which Persia is Iraq?
Iran.
Okay. Hope it's not referring to like nowadays, right? Iran and Edom, which is basically the rest of the world. Well, not anymore. I guess Christians. Anyway, it's telling a prophecy here that the Persians will eventually fall into the hands of Edom or vice versa. According to Rav, he says the Persians hopefully will fall in the hands of Edom soon. Okay, so Tani Nami Hachi. I see the pras, in the future, pras shetipo biad Romi, that the Persians will fall into the hands of the Romans. Chada Disaster Beknishta, first of all because the Persians had destroyed Bais Rishon. The Ode, secondly, Gezeres Melech. There's somehow Gezeres Melech that only Rav was privy to, but he told us that it was true, but we don't know how he knows it. But this is Gezeres Melech, that the fall, Sheyiflu Bonim Biadis Sosrim, that the ones who build it are going to fall in the hands of the destroyer, the ones who destroy it, namely, that the Romans, the Persians who built the Bais Sheni, are going to fall into the hands of the ones who destroyed Bais Sheni, namely, Edom. Damar Ravi, Yehuda Amar Rav, Ein Ben David Ba, in other words, Mashiach is only going to come, Ad, Sheftifshot Malchus Rome Harisha, Bechol Olam Kula, until Rome has an entire hold of the entire world, Kula Tisha Chalashim for a total of 9 months, Shenemar Lechan Yitnam Ad Eis Yalda, V'yeser Achiv Yeshuvan Al Bnei Yisrael. So this pasuk, which is found in Micha, is a reference that Rome is going to have a stronghold of the entire world for a period of 9 months.
So you don't see anywhere close.
Anywhere close.
Rome doesn't control anything today.
Well, it doesn't mean necessarily Rome. Now the Americans and perhaps a lot of the Europeans.
Like Christianity.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You don't see Christianity controlling. You see right. The Muslims.
Right. Well, it depends how you decide control. I mean, financial control, so I'm not so sure about the Muslims.
They're referring to Mamash, you know. We have Kashar control.
I'm not sure what they refer to. They could be referring to that America makes foreign policy. They make decisions for everything. They decide what to do. And even though everyone's against America, they have the ability to...
Sanctions. America.
Right. What?
Yeah, sanctions against Iran.
So Iran is falling by Rome. Okay, so right. Mashiach is soon.
let's hope. So Ben Yehoyada says, why was Esav, who was the father of Edom, the father of Rome, the father of the Christians, why were they Zochah? What was Esav Zochus? He was able to have the control of the entire world for a period of 9 months. So Ben Yehoda writes that we know in the brachas of Esav and Yaakov, they split it up. Yaakov was zochah to Olam Haba, and Esav was zochah to Olam Hazeh. So where do you ever see zochus of Olam Hazeh? That was part of the bracha. Olam Hazeh, he has to have the control of Olam Hazeh. And the period of 9 months, he explained, because there was a zochus that Esav did not hurt. Wasn't Mazik Yaakov Bebetanimo and the mother of when they were together in the womb. So for that zochus, he didn't hurt Yaakov. He was zochah for these in the period of 9 months. Of controlling the entire world. Okay.
Is there any type of book that speaks about Mashiach and all the prophecies about Mashiach, meaning this kind of prophecy? My guess
would be yes, but I don't know. I don't know offhand. There are a lot of books out there. If not, you could write one.
Oh, but we need to get all of
it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it's a big project. Okay, now that's really...
You analyze what that means, what happened, what's maybe will happen.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Okay, now that's the conclusion of all the Gata. Now we're going to go into back to some halachic stuff. This next piece is pretty short, actually. You see the next stuff is very short. It's probably 15, 20 lines down only. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Kol halishchos shehayu b'mikdash lo hayu lehen mezuzah chutz mi lishchos parhedrin. All the lishchos, the different chambers that exist in the base of Migdash, none of them had mezuzos, except for the lishchos parhedrin, whereby the Kohen Gadol would go, shehaya ba beis dir la Kohen Gadol, that was a place of living, because one of the requirements to have a mezuzah on a doorpost has to be beis dir, has to be a place to live. A person lives, or where a person does those types of, even though he doesn't sleep there necessarily, but it's a place where he could do certain uses of a dira. Since the 7 days a year, the Kohen Gadol would go there, Lishkos Parhedrin, it was called a Dira, and Chayav and Mezuzah. Amr of Yehuda, Halo kama Lishkos hayu b'mikdash, shehayu lehem mehen beis dira, v'lo hayu lehem mezuzah. There are many chambers that people slept in, which didn't have a mezuzah. What do you mean, many chambers? We only know about the Kohen Gadol living in the Lishkos Parhedrin. So you look at Rashi. Rashi says, Halo kama Lishkos hayu sham, l'shomri habayis, the ones who guarded the base of Mikdash. So if you look in the Maseches Tamid, we should get there in a few years, Shemir Tashem, the Maseches Tamid goes into great depth. It's all the way to the end of Kachim. So it's one of the last Maseches we'll get to do. So it talks there about how they had this whole structure of the Shomrim, the Levim, the Kohanim, and they'd sleep. And they weren't allowed to sleep. If a Levi was caught sleeping, or a Kohen rather was caught sleeping, they'd burn his clothing. They used to like take the clothing off and sleep in the clothing. If they found them sleeping, they'd cut it off. But other people who were allowed to sleep during the night there, so people were able to take naps, whatnot, during different lishchos, so that they had a shem dira. So they had a shem dira, yet we find that no other lishcha had a mezuzah. So it's not because it had a shem dira. Because of the shem dira, there should be no chiv mezuzah. Because look at the other lishchos, which was also a base dira. So why did lishchos parhedrin have a mezuzah? El lishchos parhedrin gzeira hayisa There was a gzera. The Gemara doesn't tell us what the gzera was yet until we get there, the next page, but I'll tell you what the gzera was, even though the Gemara tells us later on, that there's a concern. Look at Rashi, gzera ha'isa, l'kamei, amun beis, it tells us, mefarish gzera shema yomru koin gadol bebeis ha'asurim hu chavash. They say, the koin gadol is locked away in a jail. Locked away in a jail. So they put a mezuzah here. This is not a jail. It's not forced. We're not forcing this upon him. It's a beis dira. It's supposed to be a pleasant place for him to live. And for that reason, we place a mezuzah on the doorpost.
In jail, you don't need mezuzah?
So we'll get to that. It's a machlokas whether or not you need a mezuzah in a jail or not.
So some
say he's from first Gemara here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need one. Because if people are going to think he's in a jail, so therefore by putting a mezuzah, tells me he's not in a jail. But others say, look at the Chachamim's opinion. The Chachamim say that it is a jail, and yet there's still a mezuzah. So you're required to have a mezuzah in this jail. He's forced to be there. So it's machlokas. Others, so that's one shot. And others say also, a jail is not a makam kavod. It's not an honorable place. One of the dinim, you can't have a mezuzah on a bathroom. It's not a place of kavod, so maybe a jail shouldn't either have a place of kavod. So the response to that is, no. It's only when it's a gross place where disgusting things happen there, and it's dirty and smelly. But based on a sarim, a jail is not a dirty place. It's not perhaps an honorable place, but it's not a dirty place either. So it's a back and forth whether a jail, in fact, would require mezuzah. I don't know what people do who are in jail, but it is a shiloh. Okay, so now what we have here at least is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, whether fundamentally a lishkas barhedrin requires a mezuzah. According to Tanakhama, fundamentally a lishkas barhedrin requires a mezuzah. Because it's a base dira, Yehuda says it does not require a base dira, it's simply because of a gezerah that people are going to say it's a jail, we make them put a mezuzah on. But not fundamentally that it's needed. So the Gemara explains that four lines from the bottom, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda that fundamentally it does not require a mezuzah, it's only because of a gezerah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kesava Rabbi Yehuda, kol b'ayis she'ena asa liyamos hachama, v'liyamos hachshamim, any house that's not made for the summer months and for the winter months, ain't no basis by it. It's not considered a house. That's his svara. So there's discussion here. So what about a summer home? A person goes up into the country for a couple months a year. Is that going to require a mezuzah? Some say not, because it's not considered a bias unless it's meant to live for both places. Rav Moshe writes, no, not true. It's roy. A person can theoretically live in this place, summer and winter. It's just that they don't. They decide not to. They only go for 2 months of the year. So Moshe Paskins, you do require a mezuzah in these summer homes.
So the summer house doesn't have heat?
It doesn't have any heat.
Summer house?
If there's no heat. There's no heating system because you're only going to live there in the summer.
And you winterize it, you're saying, before you go home.
You don't winterize it. So it's not a house you can live in.
No, I'm saying you have to winterize it, meaning you have to, the pipes will probably burst.
Right.
If you don't, so you have to somehow remove all the water and drain everything.
So they don't even bother.
Uh-huh. Good question, I don't know. Not sure. I imagine people actually do have summer homes where they don't have heating in it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Usually summer homes.
That's why they're cheap. Cheap to build.
You don't need any of the heating systems. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that's why it's so cheap. I know people who do have heating in their house. They go up for like Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They go up, in the vacation village. But you're saying a typical one does not have heating, which makes sense. Okay. I assume Rav Moshe was referring to even those. Those are probably he's probably getting more of those types of bungalows that didn't have heating, yet he's still paskin that it requires a mezuzah. The reason in light of your question, I'm not sure the reason why it's not livable during the winter, maybe you're saying that's just a technicality. I mean, in theory it is. You could get a fireplace running, get some warmers.
Well, I guess you could be a kerosene lamp or something.
Right, yes, I guess it doesn't have to have part of the house a built-in heating system, so maybe that's the way you would explain it. So ask the Gemara now, three lines from the bottom, Esive, Abaye. Abaye asks, V'aksiv, doesn't the pasuk say v'kisi bais charif abais kaitz? I'm not sure the context of this pasuk. It's a pasuk found in Amos. Amos is one of the Treasar, one of the 12 Svarman cult in Treasar. We call
the Navi too.
Yeah, it's a Navi in Treasar. It's one of the Nevi'im. It's called Treasar. There are 12 small Nevi'im. So Yonah is one of them. Small 12 small Nevi'im that are there. So there it says a pasuk. It refers to a bais charif, a winter house, as a bais. And it refers to a summer house as a bias. So we see that you can call a summer home or winter home a bias. So Amrle, bias chorif or bias kaitz ikri, bias stam alokri. It's called a summer home. It's called a winter home. It's not called a home. has to be called a bais. What's called a bais to be chayiv a mezuzah? Something that's livable both during the summer and during the winter. So therefore, these base lishchas parhedrin is not called a bais since it's only meant for 1 week during the year. Esivei asks the Gemara further. Abai asks, sukkas achag b'chag. So what's the din of the sukkah? A person built a sukkah for chag is referring to sukkas. Is there a requirement for a mezuzah on a person's sukkah during sukkas? So Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv the chachamim potrim. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have a mezuzah, and the chachamim say you're potter from having a mezuzah. So the Gemara says further, and even though a sukkah is meant for a week, it's only a week at 7 days. Yet Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv to have a mezuzah. Yet before we said the lishkas parhedrin, which is only meant for a week, also Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter in having a mezuzah. The Gemara goes on to explain further. B'taniyala, there's a brayso that said further. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev be'eruv uve mezuzah uve meiser. So Rabbi Yehuda also is mechayev an eruv, meaning, let's say a person has a courtyard. The way they used to have the courtyard set up was, let's say this is a courtyard. Everyone had their house opening up to a center courtyard. So if you wanted to make an eruv for the courtyard, so everybody could carry throughout, make the proper strings, every single house had to combine and be part of this eruv. If there's one house in the courtyard which doesn't want to be part of the eruv doesn't work. Everyone has to be part of it. Let's say I have a sukkah around this chatzar. Rabbi says, if you have a sukkah on sukkahs, it becomes a house, and you have to take part of the Erev. If you say you don't want to be part of the Erev can't exist. So a sukkah is a real bias, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And further, he says, in terms of meiser, the chiyah meiser is that we say when you collect all the grains, let's say the wheat from the field, a person's allowed to eat them barai. He could eat them, take a little snack here or there. But once he brings it into his house, there's a chi of iser tevel, and you cannot eat anything until you've taken chumah and meiser off it. So bringing into the house creates a chi of taking meiser. So he says, Rabbi Huda says, bring into one sukkah is also a chi of meiser. It's bring into sukkah is like bring into the house and you're chayav to take meiser. What we see from here in terms of these three dinim, mezuzah, eruv, and meiser, that a sukkah on sukkahs is considered a bias. So the Gemara says, Bishma Eruv, I understand why Eruv, that a sukkah is referred to a bias. Umezuzah also is referred to a bias in terms of a sukkah, because Ikla Meimar Midirbanam. You could say there's a chiyah Midirban only. You're right, Mikar Din, there's no chiyah to put a mezuzah on a sukkah. But Midirban, they're mechayiv you to put on a mezuzah. And I understand when it came to an Eruv, really perhaps Midiraisa, sukkah is not really a house. But Midirbanam, the Chacham thought it was appropriate to also be part of the Eruv if you have a sukkah. Ela Meiser, when it comes to Meiser, Mikla Meimar Midirbanam. Could you say that there's a chiyuv to take meiser midrabanan, that the sukkah is not really a house, but the chacham required you to take meiser, just midrabanan? How could you be mechayiv meiser midrabanan? It's going to cause a big problem. What's the problem it's going to cause? Dilma aser la'afrushe min achiyuv ala pater, u min apater ala chiyuv. You might take from a pile of wheat that is pater and meiser, and use that wheat to exempt a pile of wheat that's chayiv in meiser. And it doesn't work that way. Let's say I have this is chayiv and meiser, and this is not. I take a piece of wheat, I say, I want to exempt this chayiv tevel. It doesn't work like that. You can only take something that's chayiv and tevel to something else that's chayiv and tevel to exempt both piles. But something that's pater and tevel and something that's chayiv, then you can't take from the pater one to the chayiv one or the chayiv one onto the pater one. But what's going to happen is, if I bring wheat into my sukkah, and the chacham say, oh, you're chayiv to take meiser midirbanan, but really midiraisa, you're pater. So I'm going to think, oh, it's really chayiv. I'm going to combine my pile of wheat that was brought into my sukkah with a pile of wheat that's brought into my house. The one that's brought into my house is really chayiv midiraisin meiser. And the one that's brought into my sukkah is only chayiv midirbanan. They're not the same level. And I'm not going to know the difference. So the chacham should never be mechayiv you to take meiser midirbanan because it might cause this problem. So you're either chayiv midiraisa or you're pater lagamer. So that's why you can't be referring to midirbanan. Once we establish what we call sukkah a bias, it can't be talking about a sukkah and sukkah is a bias on a derabanan level, because ma'aser wouldn't make sense. It must be that we say a sukkah is a bias on a deraisa level. Once we're now talking on the plane of a deraisa, so what comes out is
you don't need mezuzah.
So be here, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv in mezuzah. Even though sukkah is only for 7 days, Rabbi Yehuda paskin before you're chayiv in mezuzah.
But today we don't put mezuzah.
Today we don't. The ma'aser we don't. But we want to know according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah, which you sit in for 7 days, is chayiv mezuzah mederaisa. Why then a lishchas parhedrin, which you're calling God those for 7 days also, he says you're patim in mezuzah. You're only chayiv in mezuzah and lishchas parhedrin because you might think it's a jail. But had not been for that, you'd be potter from a mezuzah for the 7 days. That's the question according to Rabbi Yehuda. Clear? Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says now, here's as an aside, by the way, I'm not going to go into depth, but the top Tosos Dilma, he talks about a number of examples whereby we see the Chachamim instituted a Chiyah Maisim Mederbanon. The Gemara seems to say the Maisir, that Chachamim should never be Mechayev Maisim Mederbanon, because then you get confused with Maisir that's Deraisa, with Maisir that's Derbanon. But he brings like 6 different examples where we do say. So he gives an explanation of what the differences are. So either way, how do we get around the issue of Rabbi Yehuda, who seems to have a stira? One case he says a 7-day home is chayv mezuzah. Another time he says 7-day mezuzah is pater mezuzah. So he says as follows. Ella Amar Abai explains as follows. Bishiva duchli amalo pligi de mechayv. During the 7 days of the Prisha, the 7 days where the Kohen Gadol separates into the Lishkas Parhedrin, everybody is in agreement, even the Chachamim, that you require mezuzah on the chamber when the Kohen Gadol is there. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Bishar Yimos Hashanah, during the rest of the year. Rabbanan Savrei Gazrinan Shar Yimos Hashanah Atu Shiva. Rabbanan say there's a gezera. Let's see. And gzera, therefore your pata, what's the gzera?
It says they might forget to put the mezuzah up for the seven days. So therefore let's just keep it there.
Okay. So they might forget to put it up, so therefore the entire year you should leave it up. Fundamentally, you're only required during the 7 days while the Kohen Gadol is there. The rest of the year you're really potter, but the best thing is to do is to leave it up there. You don't lose anything by leaving the mezuzah up there. Leave it up there lest you forget to put it up there during the 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Logazin, Rabbi Yehuda thought that there's no need for gezerah, and therefore you could take it down. Ah, and the only reason why you have to put it back up is because people might think it's a, I guess. Is that the point? Let's see. Right. Okay, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, that's the din. So then the Gemara asks, Amalei Rava asks, Vaha Sukkos Hachag B'Chagatani? So, but doesn't it say that Rabbanan hold that a Sukkah on Chag, on Sukkos, for 7 days is Pater? So you see, 7 day period is actually Pater. How could Abai suggest that the Chachamim think during the 7 days of Prisha, you're Chayv Mezuzah, if when the 7 days of Sukkos, the Chachamim say you're Pater Mezuzah? So it can't be explained as they both agree during the 7 days that a person's Chayv Mezuzah. So rather, Rava gives a different approach. Amar Rava says, Bishari Mos Hashana, during the rest of the year, Kulam Alo Pligi De Paturin. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Huda and Chachamim, everybody agrees, there's the rest of the year of the Lishkas Parhedrin. Ki Pligi, when do they argue? Bishiva V'Sukka. Bishiva, during the 7 days. V'Sukka Taim L'Chod, V'Lishka Taim L'Chod. And they each have their own different reasonings. It's not that we can't say 7 days. Are you Chayv in 7 days or are you Pot in 7 days? It's not a question of 7 days. It's this discussion of Sukkah is very different than the discussion of Lishkas Parhedrin. What are the differences? Sukkah time lechud. What's the difference? What's the reasoning of Sukkah? Rabbi Huda latamei, d'amar Sukkah diras keva beinim, u'mechayim b'mezuzah. Rabbi Huda is of the opinion. This is the first mission in Sukkah. Daf beizam and aleph of machlokas. How tall is the Sukkah supposed to be? Very apropos for Chanukah. The Gemara connects the two. How tall could a schach be? So the Rabbi Huda, the Chacham say, it could be no more than 20 amos. That's the highest. Around 40 feet, 30, 40 feet. No more than that, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Huda says it could be even 40, 50 feet high. So what's pshat? So they explain, Rabbi Huda held that you're allowed to have, actually, you're supposed to have a sukkah that's a diras keva. One of the tiny is, if it's too tall, to make a very tall sukkah say, it has to be very strong. And the sukkah, according to Chacham, is not supposed to be strong. You have to have it weak. And flimsy, so it has to be small. Rabbi Huda says, no, it could be, and it's supposed to be diras keva, strong, made of steel, made of brick. So Rabbi Huda holds diras keva. One sukkah is a diras keva, it's an established makom, it's a real home now. You built a real structure that requires a mezuzah. That's the opinion of Rabbi Huda. However, Rabbanan go according to the reasoning. Why do they say the sukkah does not require mezuzah? D'amri, because they hold sukkah diras arai, but you know, l'machai mezuzah. They held that sukkah has to be arai, has to be temporary. And a temporary place does not require a mezuzah. That's the explanation why they argue by a mezuzah sukkah. How about lishcha? What's machokis lishcha? Lishcha time lechud has its own reasoning as well, and different than the reasoning of sukkah. Rabbanan savri dira ba karcha shma dira. a place of living that you're forced into. They take the Kohen Gadol, they throw him in there. He has no choice. He has to be there for 7 days. That, according to the Chachamim, is called a dira. Lamaisa, he lives there. I don't care how he got there. Lamaisa, he's living there for 7 days. 7 days and seven nights. Rabbi Yehuda held that suffered dira bal karcha lo shmei dira. No, no. You can't call. You force the guy to live there. That's not considered a place of living. The guy was forced to be there, the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, you're not chayv to put a mezuzah on fundamentally. However, midira banan adds Rabbi Yehuda chiv derabanan the takina le shelo yomru kohen gadol chavish bebeis hasurim. Lest people say, ah, you're putting him into jail. That's not fair. The kohen gadol is going to jail for 7 days, so we place him in mezuzah. No, no, it's not jail. This is where he's living. So fundamentally, you're not chayv in mezuzah. It's a dira shabal karchal, but a gzeira. Lest people say it's a jail, you put a mezuzah on. So the Mefarshim asks the following question on this. And this is the end of the Gemara, but I'll just say outside, the Rishonim and Achronim ask the following question. Why is a base dira, why is a lishchas parhejin called a dira bal karcha? That we take the Kohen Gadol, we throw him in there, and you're patur mezuzah. What about a sukkah? There's a chiv to go into the sukkah for 7 days. So shouldn't that also be viewed as a dira bal karcha? And Rabbi Yehuda should say, you're patur from a sukkah, a mezuzah in a sukkah as well.
But that's the prat and that's a klan.
What do you mean?
This is only one person, you mechayv, not kol am Yisrael.
Interesting. And no one gives an answer. That's very interesting. That's not like, okay, very good. No one gave that answer, I saw. And since it's in a general klal, you can't refer to everyone's going to jail. No one. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
But the mice is still based, it's still a bal karchel. We're still forced to go there, though.
Yeah, but it's a specific case. It's a special case.
The answer that I saw, the Ritva says that the difference is Mavot Lishchas Parhedrin, the Kohen Gadol goes there by himself. No wife, no families, he's all by himself. He's alone. That's a real jail. Mavot to Sukkah, his wife and kids are all with him. So that's therefore, it's more
his
of a deal.
His wife, he don't take it. Well, what was the Mishnah?
We said that the wife does not. We suggested, why not? Maybe the wife should go with him. But the Gemara concluded that the wife does not come with him. He needs to have a wife. The wife does not spend the 7 days with him in the Lishchas Parhedrin, though. That's what the Ritva
answers. The beginning. It looks so cool.
Tosas Yeshanim says that the Lishchas Parhedrin, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave at all. During sukkahs, a person is allowed to leave. Okay, when he eats and when he sleeps, he's supposed to be in the sukkah, but there are other times when he's not doing any of those, he's clearly allowed to leave, so no one would ever get the impression, it's not considered, therefore, Diras Bar Karcha. Sfas Emes writes, this is an interesting reasoning, he says the sukkah could be built wherever he wants. Anywhere he wants, he could build the sukkah. The Lishchas Parhedrin, he's told where to go and where to live. Sukkah has a little bit more room, so therefore it's not called, even though it's the living, he has to be living there, where it's situated, at least there's some liberty there, which therefore is not considered a diras bal karcha. Okay, and then, okay, that's there's one more answer, but I won't say that last answer. And, okay, we'll stop there, I guess. A little bit early.
Do they have a guard outside? I don't know.
Sure, do you?